What do you think the most frequently repeated sentence about weddings is? I reckon I know what it is. My best guess would be, it all goes by so fast. And let's be serious, I don't have a solution for that, so thanks for listening. But for real, what can you do about that? You can try to not take it for granted. And because the wedding part is really short and the marriage part is really long, you could try to enjoy more of your engagement. And you could focus on the things, whether they be people, places, food, flowers, your outfit, that really matters to you. A great photographer or videographer could help a lot. But I reckon one of the most lasting ways to preserve your memories, emotions, thoughts, and ideas is by writing it down. When I was young, a long time ago, it was called a diary. But now it's called journaling. And there seems to be a lot of YouTubers with some pretty strong opinions about how to do it, which shit me to tears. Because unless you've got next to no responsibilities, no pets, no partner, very few hobbies, who's got the fucking time? So today I want to smash through the bullet journaling bullshit, the binder bollocks, and share with you, firstly, the benefits and why you might want to journal during your engagement and wedding planning. Hint, it is super worth your time. Why bullet journaling and wedding binders aren't worth your time. And the unbridled way to journal, another hint, it's non-restrictive and super simple. And if you stay listening to the end, I've got a little surprise as well, a little sassy surprise. I think you'll love it. Let's get stuck into it.
Unbridly is a community of pro wedding vendors who believe in freedom and integrity in weddings, giving you options, solutions, tips and tricks to create the experience and memories that you and your fiancé really want and deserve. Because we believe that weddings are a team sport. With how-tos, stories and interviews with recently married couples, we find out what went right and what they'd change if they could go back and do it all over again. I'm Camille and welcome to the Unbridly podcast.
In case you're new around here, I need to confess from the outset that I was far from a smart bride. It was almost 10 years ago now, but I DIY'd until my fingers bled, literally. I made my own concrete light bulb, test tube and Billy Button high bar centerpieces, which is pretty rough on the manicure. I had a disastrous experience trying to grow and create my own succulent bouquets. They started wilting within a day. And I bought my wedding gowns, yes, both of them, online, because I didn't think someone in a bricks and mortar store would be able to help someone as fat, misproportioned, and sarcastic as me. And FYI, neither of them fit. So I am far from the poster child for wedding planning bliss, and I don't pretend for a second that I did it all right, even though I had already been a wedding and events manager and a hospitality professional in the past, and a celebrant, officiant for my friends in the States for almost 5 years by that time. So I want you to know that the advice I'm going to give you today doesn't come from my ivory tower in a castle on I Know Everything Island, but rather from my regrets of what I could have done that may have helped me with the craziness at the time and also been a beautiful keepsake for our daughter too. Now, I'm a list maker from way back, and so during my wedding planning, I had lists on my phone, laptop, beside my bed, on post-it notes all around the house too. I mean, whatever works for you, right? Except that it didn't. It didn't work. My thoughts, plans, and ideas weren't in one central location. They were everywhere, in about half a dozen different places. So it's no big surprise that my decision-making wasn't the best either. But now with the development of more advanced tech, it is crystal clear to me at least that wedding websites are the way to go, as far as organization and planning goes anyway, hands down. And if you need some convincing on that, head back to episode number 15, the three biggest wedding planning time sucks and how to avoid them, and learn all of the ways that a wedding website is not just a communication tool, but the good ones, like the really great ones, are like a planner in your pocket. So the planning aspect aside, I guess what I'd really like to be able to look back on now is how I was feeling at the time. The discussions that me and my now husband and our families had at that time, what we thought was important, why we chose what we chose, because while I think I remember these details pretty well, hubby never fails to remind me that my memories of things are not always hard facts, a bit of alternative facts, if you will. And sometimes he remembers things, different things from different times, and has his own different highlight reel as well. But what if you could have a record of that time? And what if it could also help keep you on track? And what if those decisions that seem bloody hard, really challenging at the time of writing them, actually feel more clear? And that space helps to make way for some fresh thinking. Now, I just got to say this disclaimer. I'll make it quick. I want to make sure that you're aware that I am not a medical or mental health professional, and the information I'm talking about today is just that, information only. It is not specific advice. If you take action following something you heard, it is important to make sure that you get professional advice about your unique situation before you proceed, and that's whether the advice be legal, financial, accounting, medical, other advice. If my lists are anything to go by, and according to evidence cited in PositivePsychology.com's article, The Five Surprising Benefits of Journaling, I'll put the link in the show notes so you can check it out. Improvements in clients experiencing anxiety and depression are not unusual, and journaling can also help with stress management, recovery, and reflection. So let's get back to you. What are the benefits of journaling when you get engaged and throughout your wedding planning process? So the first one, and I hinted at it just before, is the clarity and insight. So when you write about your thoughts, your feelings, and your ideas, it can help you to identify and process complex emotions. So you can then see patterns in your behavior, if there are patterns, and understand your reactions to different situations. Writing these down can help you to understand the root causes of your worries and maybe your fears too. You might be able to gain insights into underlying triggers or other situations that keep reoccurring. And, you know, this makes me think about friendship and family dynamics that sort of happen and are triggered during wedding planning. And so reflecting on your worries can also lead to a shift in your perspective, because when you're able to have a look at your thoughts, emotions, and ideas objectively, I mean, they're right there on the paper in front of you, you might realize that certain worries have no real factual basis, or they can seem more manageable. And this perspective shift can reduce how heavy the negative emotions feel to you and can help alleviate tension. Gold, right? Journaling during your wedding planning can also help with problem solving. So when you're faced with challenges or dilemmas, your journaling provides a space for brainstorming the solutions. So the good old pros and cons list, it's a favorite of mine. And writing down your problems and exploring potential outcomes can help you with coming up with effective strategies for dealing with difficult situations, like inviting or not inviting that particular friend or their new partner of 2 months, for example. Journaling can also help enhance your creativity. So whether you're freestyle brainstorming or taking on dedicated creative writing exercises, it can help to spark your imagination and produce alternative and fresh ideas, which is super handy when you're working on your color palette, wedding decor decisions, and honeymoon planning alike. Journaling can also help you with goal setting and accountability. Goodness knows we need it while we're planning a wedding. So writing down your goals, your values, and your aspirations in a journal can help you to clarify your objectives. You can keep what you want to do in the front of your mind and in the front of your journal and track your progress over time. Journaling holds you accountable to yourself. It motivates you to take action towards making your great ideas come to life in the real world. And journaling, once you get engaged and when you're planning your wedding, can help with memory enhancement. So keeping a journal of the time of your engagement or wedding planning experience, it helps you to document important milestones that could just, you know, that could just happen and then you forget. It's something nice that happened, but it's not really retained. It could be beautiful moments. It could be really special experiences or interactions, insights into your relationship. And by writing things down, you're more likely to remember them in the future, which of course preserves your memories for reflection later, you know, for yourself, but also it's a special memento or keepsake for your children or even your grandchildren in the future. So there are so many benefits. There are mental health benefits. There are planning benefits. There are memory benefits. It really is all tick, 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 tick. And as I mentioned before, I guess one of my biggest problems with the concept of journaling is that I feel like there are big barriers in the way for me, for anyone, to do it properly, to put the right things in the right places, to journal at the right times for the right amount of time, to have the right creative directive to do it. And I just wanted to share with you, for example, if you have a wedding binder, you know, that's more of a planning tool. Here are, you know, the approximate steps to using a wedding binder. Number one, get yourself a super cute wedding binder. Number two, buy and set up a million tabs for the different parts of your wedding that you're going to want to record information on, track, and refer back to later. Number three, section out your cute binder into a budget, a guest list, all the vendor research, pricing guides and contracts, all about your wedding party, the assigned responsibilities that you've delegated to everyone, your timeline, your registry, your rehearsal, your decor, your menu, the drinks. I mean, the list is extensive. And then number four, lug it around everywhere to be able to use it and refer to it. Get your bicep curl reps in. Number five, put more shit in it as you collect more shit from vendors, from your family and friends, you know, dietary requirements and essential information like that, keep putting shit in it. Number six, not be able to share it with multiple people at once. Number seven, get frustrated with your wedding binder and its lack of flexibility for your wedding needs and only fill out a small amount of it and leave it half empty by the time you get married. Not exactly ideal. It's not helping anyone really with the planning side or the journaling side. And yet, you know, when you type in wedding journal in Google, that's what comes up, your wedding binders. If it's for you, then it's for you. And honestly, if it works for you, then that is brilliant. It doesn't work for me in the way my brain works. I don't understand in this day and age why we're still referring to these things. I guess it could be a nice keepsake, you know, all those details, little fabric swatches and things, maybe a few samples of certain cardstock or something like that. I don't know. I just find it really restrictive. And in weddings, I think we should be breaking down barriers rather than putting them up and making things difficult for ourselves. Weddings need to be easier. They need to have more value for us these days. It's not enough that we meet people, that we decide we want to get married, that we share jewelry and go and spend a lot of money doing it. It has to have more meaning than this. Let's face facts. You've always been the planner and the organizer, and your fiancé's eyes glaze over a little when you start talking about the details of your wedding day. But you really need someone to share this all with, to bounce ideas off, and someone who's not going to ruin the surprises, but also be supportive and maybe even offer a different perspective. So when you're needing to get a second opinion about your bridesmaid, your in-laws, or your first dance song, Unbridled Couples is your safe space. Unbridled hosts a private Facebook community where modern engaged couples can share ideas, chat, and solve problems, and generally just get freaking excited about their wedding. We also have a curated list of experienced wedding vendor professionals in there to offer suggestions and tips, insight into how to get the most out of your big day. But with no unsolicited DMs or pushy sales tactics, it's just not what Unbridled is about. So you can search for the Unbridled Couples group on Facebook or just click on the link in the show notes. I'll see you in there. So then I look to something like, you know, preserving memories for the future, thinking about journaling. And this is when my daughter, currently, we're planning a big overseas trip. And my husband said, you might want to think about journaling. She goes, great. And he goes, no, it's not as easy as that. You have a look at some YouTube journalers and, you know, you'll find out how to do it. And she goes, okay. And I thought, what the hell? I'll play this stupid game. So I sat down, I watched a few myself. Holy hell. I get that some people have made it a practice and an art. I understand. I do. I'm not stupid. I understand that people take great, great pride in their bullet journals, in creating them, making them beautiful, making them functional, having different sections. But I would hazard a guess that you, my friend, are thinking a similar way to me, and that is, my time is so precious. Maybe later. Maybe I'll get into bullet journaling later, like when I'm retired. Maybe when I was 13, 14. Maybe that would have been good. But I can certainly put myself in your shoes, and you're planning your wedding. I'm grateful you're even listening to this. So, you know, the steps of bullet journaling, let me just outline it for you. Number one, get a specific notebook. They are bullet journaling notebooks. They're set out a certain way. Number two, think about your intentions for bullet journaling. Number three, start with your index page. You need to be able to fill that out and basically put, you know, titles. It's like a contents page right at the start. So you can record which page number certain things are on within your bullet journaling book. Number four, you want to be creating your future log, things for the future, aspirations for the future. They could be goals, could be all sorts of things. Number five, set up your monthly log. Yeah. So from your future, you're breaking it down into months and you're logging when you're going to do these things. You have a monthly log. Number six, make up your daily log. You're breaking down everything you want to achieve in a month and you're putting it into a daily log. And then number seven, rinse, repeat, and reflect. I get it. I do get it and I appreciate it, but it's too much. It is too much for me. And what I figured was, if it was too much for me, it might be too much for you. And yet you still want the benefits and you still want to keep a record of this incredibly special time in your life. And so I introduce to you Unbridled journaling, step by step. Number one, choose a journal or notebook. Number two, create a comfortable, perhaps inspiring writing environment, or just wherever the hell you can, whenever the hell you can. Step number three, begin with a simple warm-up or don't. Number four, choose a topic, choose a journal prompt or template or don't. Number five, write freely and openly. And number six, you might want to think back and review what you've written if you've got time. And if you don't, you can do it when you retire. It's something to look forward to. If you really wanted to go a bit deeper, then you could use a tagging system of either those multicolored sticky tabs, you know, for different sections or special things you don't want to forget, or just scribble a big star, a circle, a swipe of a highlighter pen in the top right-hand corner. So when you flick through it, you can see anything really important or a big decision or a guide for your wedding choices. You know, like it might be maximum 60 yes. It takes up a whole page right at the start in the middle of a big stop sign like hexagon shape. That could be very important to you. Maybe that's the very front page. That would make sense. But it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be that. Maybe your big three. So have a listen to podcast episode number one and make sure that you've got your big three priorities for your wedding. Not just yours, of course, not just your fiance's, but the blended one where you compromised. Maybe your big three is front and center, or at least on a dedicated page in your journal to remind you and to keep you accountable and on track. I would keep my big three wedding priorities on a page all on their own and put a large fluorescent marker pen green star in the top right-hand corner so I could always find it quickly and refer back to it when I work through my planning, like your North Star, if you like. And if you want to go further, I love the idea of keeping the free writing journaling part at the back of your journal and dated on the top left-hand side of each page. So you can see the evolution of your thinking in reverse when you or your children or your grandchildren look back at it in years to come. So you'd have the date closest to your wedding, roughly halfway through your journal, where you start reading, but where you ended your writing. And then each page from there, if you keep flipping through from left to right, will be your ideas, your thoughts, your concerns, right back to the date when you started the journal or you just got engaged and didn't really know what to expect and were maybe a little nervous and very excited, all your wild ideas in the middle of the night and how you worked them out together. And of course, they're just ideas, not even suggestions. They're just ideas for what you can put in your wedding journal. I would encourage you just to go rogue, to go with what you feel, to draw, to design, to draw tables, to write words, to make sure that you get out of you, not just your feelings. There was an interesting study about the difference between different types of journaling, and the one that caught my eye was they had a group who were divided into three, and one third of the group wrote down things only factually. The second part of the group wrote down things only emotionally, only the feelings that they had about certain things. And the final group, the final third, wrote down experiences that had happened to them. They did it over a certain amount of time, different experiences, but they wrote down the facts and the emotions that were attached to them. And they found that the people who did that had a significantly greater ability to process their own emotions and get through their dilemmas and their problems and the things they experienced with more positive outcomes. I'll make sure to find that study and I'll put the link in the show notes as well, because it's just fascinating. But the idea was, if you can write down the things that are happening or the things that you want to happen and your feelings about them, you've got a better chance of processing them. And also, it makes the journal more valuable for you in the future, because, you know, maybe you're not writing something like, I am beyond pissed off about XYZ, but you could say, this happened, that happened, and I made this decision, and this person came back to me. It made me feel really angry. And then I talked to my fiance and they said that it's just fine. I don't think it's just fine. Like, it's just, it gives context to the things that you're writing, and it will help you to process what's going on, because it can get a little sticky. It can get a little crazy. And it's really smart to look after yourself as much as you can. But as I said earlier, I am not a medical professional or a mental health professional. And so if you feel that you really need to talk through this with someone, if you feel like you need professional help, you don't question it. You go get it. And you go get it as soon as you possibly can, because your health, all of your health, is absolutely no joke. So to wrap this up today, I would just love to encourage you to, if you feel the urge to write stuff down, to write it down any bloody way you want, and know that there are so many benefits to doing that. I also have a little bit of a surprise, and that is that I've created three at this stage super cute journals. They're about an A5 size, they're hardcover, and I am selling them on an Etsy shop, and it's called Sass Mouth, because of my sweary tendencies, SASSMOUTHAU. So Sass Mouth AU is my Etsy shop, And yeah, if you did feel inclined, you could jump on there. You could find the three journals. They have sort of sassy sayings on the front, like, welcome to my wedding featuring my fiance, and we should have eloped, you know, little tongue in cheek, just lighthearted, I guess you'd call it, for people who might be a little bit sassy too. So you can have a look at that, that's Sassmouth AU on Etsy. And yeah, I hope you like them. I think they're super cute designs, and I can't wait to catch up with you next week.
That about wraps it up for this episode of the Unbridly Podcast. For the links and resources we mentioned, please head to the show notes. And if you love the show, please review and subscribe on the podcast platform you're on now so you don't miss out on a single episode. Thanks so much for listening. And remember, weddings are a team sport. Catch you soon.